Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland goes into the community for support, park reservation changes, Toontown gets some adjustments,
Fantasmic return information, the new Disney Vacation Club Tower gets a name, we talk about our trip to Knott's Berry Farm and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners! For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast, and be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of May 24th, 2023. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a thank you to all our current weekly tiers for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures the podcast will continue and that we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information live from the parks. If you'd like to become an official weekly tier yourself, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, it's that time again, and we are hosting our public live stream this Sunday. That's this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Disneyland time. We hope to see many of you there. This will be on our YouTube page. So if you go to youtube.com/dlweekly, you'll be able to find us there to join in.
Now let's get to the news.
In the last couple of weeks, Disneyland has been spreading the word about Disneyland Forward. Disneyland Forward is the plan to promote future ideas for the Disneyland Resort to the public and the government of Anaheim to start planning for the future. The biggest priority at the moment is to earn goodwill with the city to rezone the parking areas around the resort to mixed use, which will allow Disney the option to do almost anything they can think of with the space.
Yeah, so we've talked about this a little bit before. Basically, right now, there's a lot of zones around the Paradise Pier Hotel, and which is going to be the Pixar Place Hotel soon, and the Disneyland Hotel that is currently parking, and they want to have this rezoned to mixed use, which means they can use it for parking or retail or theme park attractions, basically anything they want to use it for. But right now, the way it's zoned, they can only use it for parking, so It kind of is limiting. Now, some of the things that they have shown in their diagrams and stuff like that have been, a few different options. One is expanding Disneyland across Disneyland Drive to the current Disneyland Hotel parking area, and expanding Disney California Adventure across Disneyland Drive into what is now the Paradise Pier Hotel parking area. And then also having some type of hotel and dining kind of Disney Springs like thing way over on the old or the current Toy Story parking lot. So lots of changes that they're trying to get rezoned for things to be able to do these expansions. Another thing, by the way, is the expansion for Disneyland and DCA. That could also just be a third park that they might want to do there. So they have not decided on anything.
Yeah, this is all just kind of blue skies and just, the initial concepts of what ifs. There is concept art. And if you go to the link in our show notes, you can see some of that concept art. And of course, it looks beautiful. But if you take a real close look at it, you can also notice that there's nothing really specific.
Correct.
In the concept art. Like maybe this kind of looks like it could be possibly like a Neverland theme, or possibly faintly looks like maybe Zootopia. I don't know, whatever. Like you can kind of read between the lines and see a lot of different things. The thing that I think is kind of cool about this project is in one of the presentations that they did recently for the Disneyland Forward project, Ken Potrock was actually one of the people leading this discussion with locals and local media. But the thing that I thought was really interesting is the thought process with having like a mixed use downtown Disney-esque area coming to the Toy Story parking lot is that could be utilized for not just Disney people and not just people that love Disney and are at the parks. Because the Toy Story parking lot, for those of you that don't know, is actually located right across from the Anaheim Convention Center, that space would be a big asset and a big help, or whatever you want to call it, for the city, because a lot of people coming for the convention now have this really cool area with shopping and dining. They could even have like a theater and stuff there. You know, all this stuff that not just Disney, quote unquote, Disney fans would be getting use out of. This could be kind of a a bigger impact to the area and just tourism in general.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of cool ideas. One of the things that they showed was how when they do additions and stuff to Disneyland or California Adventure or whatever, that it has driven revenue in the area. And of course, this is something that was really hit home during the pandemic when everything had to close. And so they've got a chart, which we've linked in the show notes, that shows that, you know, way back in like 2000, there was a fraction of what we have today in hotel revenue. And every time Disney has added something, so milestones they have on this are like Disney California Adventure, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, the California Adventure redesign of the entrance of the park, Cars Land, you know, Pixar Pier, Avengers Campus, all of these things have added a boost in revenue to the surrounding area. So they're trying to say that, look, unlike the past, where when Disney has asked for things, they've asked for tax incentives and room tax breaks and all of these different things. But now Disney's not asking for any of that. Disney is just saying, hey, we just want to rezone this because we want the flexibility to add things going forward, and that actually it's going to benefit the community as a whole if we're allowed to add these things. We're not asking for tax breaks. We're not asking for special privileges or anything like that. We just want this area rezoned so we can have some flexibility. And I think it's really cool. And, you know, for those of you who might be hearing this and thinking, oh, cool, like 2 or 3 years from now, we'll have something. This is something that is definitely long term. They don't have any solid ideas for any of this.
It's very much in its infancy stages.
So right we're now. Looking at probably at the very earliest would be somewhere around the 2030 and beyond time frame if anything materializes.
So right now it's just the hope of a beginning. So the big push is to get these areas rezoned, because if the areas aren't allowed to be rezoned, then the rest of the nothing, then that's kind of where it stops. They're not going to be able to kind of put these plans, you know, put these ideas into plans and then into reality. So we'll see. I mean, right, it makes sense to us Disney fan type folk, but I'm curious to see the outcome of this, because I'm really excited about this project. Mm-hmm. I think, to me, on paper, this looks good for not only Disneyland and Disney's guests, but it also looks like it would be a good thing for the city of Anaheim as well.
And just to wrap up the whole thing, is their zoning and approvals will probably take place sometime in 2024 is the timeline for the approvals there. Well, a change to the reservation system at Disneyland took place this past week. Guests can now modify their reservations without the need to cancel the existing reservation first. This includes starting park and the date of the visit. Reservations are still required to be modified or canceled before midnight the day before to avoid a no-show.
This is really interesting. A thing that I also find a little unique with this is, with Florida having all of its big changes to reservations and no reservations and reservations, no reservations after a certain time, and the evolution that we've seen of reservations in Florida, a lot of people kind of been sitting and thinking, well, what about Disneyland? Well, I could go down a whole rabbit hole of, you know, how that's kind of comparing apples and oranges, because Florida is more tourism based versus California, Disneyland being more locals based. Nothing wrong with that, but it's just a different type of demand that the two parks are experiencing. So right now, reservations are benefiting Disneyland versus Florida, not as much. They can get away with a little bit more flexibility. Plus, they just have way more space, so they can spread things out a little bit better. But anyways, it felt to me like Disney kind of quietly introduced this change. It wasn't like this big, fancy, shiny announcement. I don't even know if we saw anything on the Disney Parks blog that even touched and addressed this, but it's live. It's out there. So if you're someone that, I feel like this may be something that locals will probably get more benefit out of. Maybe not so much folks like us that are planning ahead and, you know, renting hotel rooms and booking flights to be there. But if something comes up, I think this is great. You don't have to just cancel and then try and find another thing. Yeah, and hope. You can shift this. I'm sure it also depends on availability. Full disclosure, we have not tested this feature out ourselves because, again, we are located in the Midwest.
We're more vacation-like demographics, even though we're were yes, key holders.
Exactly. So this isn't something we've used ourselves, but I would be really interested to know if any Weekly Tiers have used this new feature yet and what their thoughts are. So if you've got thoughts, send them to feedback@dlweekly.net. We would love to hear what you think of this new change.
Yeah, I think it's, I think overall it's good. One of the things is people just want it to be more flexible. Mm-hmm. I did see that there during one, Josh D'Amaro was at a Morgan Stanley, you know, investor conference thing or whatever. And he was talking about a lot of different things this week. And one of the things he said was that they are working to try to make the guest experience at Disney parks easier because something they've heard from guests, I assume casual guests and key holders and annual pass holders in Florida and all of this, is that, and we've gotten this in our community too, is it's like going to a Disney park now is so complicated. Mm-hmm. Between getting tickets, getting reservations, making sure you're going to the right park,
mobile ordering,
Genie Plus, mm-hmm, Lightning Lane. So there's just a lot of things right now that I think are, the guests are just kind of dissatisfied with, especially if you're not a seasoned park goer.
Well, and even us, I sometimes get a little, well, that this just happened to us this last trip. We, on Tuesday, we were in DCA for the day and we were really excited to go watch World of Color 1. And it wasn't until like 1 or 2 p.m. that it dawned on me like, oh, shoot, we needed to try and get on the list to be able to go in the reserved viewing area. Well, when we tried it, it was too late. They were already both filled up. So we did the standby option, which I haven't done since they had the reserved viewing and the get on the list. I'm blanking on the correct names for
it. I don't know what the correct name is either.
The preferred viewing section. We didn't
have the virtual queue.
Yeah, the virtual queue. That's it. We didn't have dining reservations. We weren't doing the dessert package either. So really, our only option at that point was to stake out a standby spot, which we did, and we enjoyed it. But
yeah,
it is nice. But yeah, even us who go there frequently enough
and report on all
and
of this
report,
stuff.
Yeah, and talk about this stuff frequently, even we can get confused and forget because there's just a lot.
Yeah. So I'm glad that they're taking that on board and making some changes. And I think this is one of those.
With Toontown just a few months old at this point, some adjustments are already happening. The Dreaming Tree is behind construction walls, getting the uneven soil under the artificial grass sorted and evened out. The Dreaming Tree branches are also getting some TLC after a lot of use from the guests. So we're talking about like the root system. Yep. That was kind of like a jungle gym of sorts for kids. Otherwise, there are a number of smaller projects happening around the land to get it back in tip-top shape.
So a couple things. First of all, I am so happy that Disney is seeing that there's some things that, yes, need to be touched up, and they are touching it up.
Yes.
They see that there's some issues with the ground. Mm-hmm. That could be a safety issue. They're fixing it. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to put up construction walls and try to fix it and get it back to tip-top shape. They're using that opportunity to redo some of the play structure for the kids. They've got some other little things happening here and there. There's some paint over by Mickey's house and some things like that. So I'm really, really glad that they are taking the opportunity to keep it up, because I can see it's really easy to just be like, well, it's new, it's not really a priority, we just put all this money into it, we'll come back to it at some later point. It's nice that they're trying to keep it up.
The other thing too is Toontown is like hopping. It is the place to be. So it's, from a guest standpoint, you know, guest demand standpoint, mm-hmm, there's still a high demand for this area, even with these minor things that they're going in and noticing and getting fixed. So I could also see Disney being like, well, you know, it could very easily be, it's new, but also there's still lots of people back there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can work, we'll take care of that later. You know, we'll just push that off. I could see that too. Now, the couple of things that I'm waiting for in Toontown has to do with water. So Donald's Boat, the splash pad next to Donald's Boat,
has not been opened.
Yeah, has not been opened, has not been turned on yet. And then supposedly, I could be mistaken, but supposedly the main fountain also was supposed to have more things happening.
I mean, so it's cool as it is.
It is,
yeah,
very cool, but it was supposed to have like the little clamshells that are in it were kind of supposed to dance and do different things. It was supposed to be a little bit more interactive and have different effects and stuff, and different, I don't want to say choreography, we'll call it
animations,
fountainography.
Oh.
So like kind of different things, but it's kind of just stuck on this one loop,
sure,
right now. So supposedly there was supposed to be other fun fun loops with that too. I could be totally mistaken, but I think there's maybe a little bit more that we might be seeing out of that fountain.
You know, something else that this is tangentially related because we're talking about Toontown that we haven't talked about on the show. Did you know that the stroller area that's in the Jolly Trolley Barn is like valet stroller parking?
Yeah.
I thought some of our guests that have smaller kids that have strollers in the park might be interested to know that it's valet. Basically, you give your stroller to a cast member, mm-hmm. I think it's brilliant because cast members are moving stuff around anyway. Just let the cast member park it.
I want more valet stroller parking around. I don't know how they're going to do this. They kind of accidentally have this perfect
spot,
perfect thing happen in Toontown to make this go, but it makes so much sense. But the other nice thing about it is you don't have to try and find, you know, like you said, the cast members have to move strollers around to keep guests flow and all that stuff. But you also don't have to worry about A, finding your stroller in the sea of strollers. But B, if you had stuff like in your strollers, you now don't have to worry about the quote unquote security of that because it's in an area with cast members only. You don't have somebody can't accidentally take the wrong stroller or can't maybe think that something, your bubble wand is something that they really wanted or something. Whatever. You don't have to worry about any of that.
A lot of strollers look the same. So I can also imagine that accidentally taking someone's stroller might be a thing and you don't realize till half an hour later when you go to look for something and you're like, oh, this is not my bag.
And I'm not saying that, you know, stroller theft is a big deal in Disneyland by any stretch. There were a couple, I do remember reporting on it because there was some issues pre-pandemic.
That was before reservations and all that. Yeah, so now it's too much work.
Yeah, there had been issues in the past. So this is just kind of nice because I feel like it gives the guests using the strollers a lot more peace of mind with the strollers.
100%. Yeah. Well, in a sad bit of news, Fantasmic will not be returning to Disneyland until after Labor Day at the earliest. In a statement, Disney said, quote, "We are taking this time to evaluate the show and explore opportunities to add new magic and touches for guests to enjoy," end quote. Guests who had booked dining packages will be notified and given alternative options. Disneyland also said, quote, "Teams are actively exploring alternate entertainment offerings for guests this summer and look forward to sharing more soon," end quote.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack.
Yes, there is.
A lot to unpack. So, first and foremost, my heart is breaking that Fantasmic is going to be closed all summer. I really thought that they would bring back B-Mode at least because there's still, I mean, Murphy was incredible. She was fantastic. She was my personal favorite part of the show. But think of all of the other incredible, amazing things that are in the show. Murphy was just there for like, I don't know, 2 minutes maybe of the whole.
There's a whole rest of the show that's amazing.
I mean, she's a big character, no pun intended with how tall she was. Right. But, you know, she was a big character, but it's not like Mickey. Mickey's the main arc of the story.
Sure.
So for whatever reason, Mickey couldn't be in Fantasmic, it would be really difficult to try and still do the show without Mickey because he's the main character. He's in every scene.
I mean, it's his imagination.
It's his imagination. And we can't do it without the mouse. So, we know that there was a B-Mode because when Murphy was misbehaving, B-Mode would happen and they would project an image of the Maleficent Dragon on a water screen instead. So I really thought that once they got everything sorted with the investigation and with putting Murphy to rest, I really thought that they'd bring the B-Mode back, especially through the summer. Now, of course, are they going to have to figure out what they're doing going forward? Yes, but I figured they could still have the show running while doing that. So this makes me, I feel so bad for those. I feel really bad for all of the cast members involved in this show because not only did they lose one of their own in losing Murphy, that was very difficult event, but they now, all these entertainers are now kind of without shifts and without
They are trying to find
jobs.
Other places for them,
I'm
but yeah.
sure, but you know what I mean? But like, boom, all of a sudden, the rug got ripped out from under them. Now, they did talk to the cast before this was announced publicly, so I do appreciate that they did that at least.
I will say that props to Disney, I guess if you're going to spin this in the lightest way possible, props to Disney for not wanting to run a subpar show.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
because
yeah.
B-Mode is fine, but it's not the product that they want to put out yeah. in front of guests on a regular
B-Mode
basis.
B-Mode is just that. It's B-Mode. It's yeah. backup.
And so props to Disney for not wanting to do that. However,
mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, they probably also, I mean, then to be the other side of that is it's a very expensive show to run. So if they can save the however many thousands of dollars a night it takes to run the show, fine. Maybe they're going to take that money and put it into a replacement dragon would be nice.
Perhaps.
But I think you covered it great for that part. Now, what do you think they mean when they say teams are actively exploring alternate entertainment offerings? Do you have thoughts on what they might
do
for that?
Oh, no. I think
that?
We need to back it up.
Oh, we're backing it up?
Yes, we're backing it up to we're taking this time to evaluate the show and explore opportunities to add new magic and touches
for the Fantasmic
show itself. What do you think that means?
I don't know. It's not going to be what I want. What I want is I want them to bring back Peter Pan and get rid of the pirate scene because I thought the Peter Pan scene was nice.
Could you imagine if Ursula came back?
I mean, that would be wonderful. So I was reading some people's comments online and people were saying things like that they wish they would change certain aspects of the new soundtrack back to the old soundtrack because they thought it was better.
Sure.
They thought that they needed to rework some of the music with the princesses scenes because they said, I didn't actually notice this, but somebody on Reddit was saying that when the tangled section like hands it back to whatever the section is after that, that it wasn't as smooth of an auditory transition or something.
Okay.
So, you know, those kind of things, they hoped that they could either revert it or make it better or something like that. But for me, I want them to bring back Murphy. I want them to bring back Peter Pan. I want them to maybe fix some of those little things that people complained about. Bring back something like Ursula and TikTok or whatever, I think would be wonderful. Stuff like that, I would like them to bring back. I don't think that's what's going to happen. My guess is that they're going to make more tweaks in a continuing new direction, not going backwards.
Sure.
And I don't know. My guess is explore opportunities to add new magic and touches. I'm also thinking that our greatest fears might be happening, which is that they would replace the fire with a fire-like effect.
Oh, I thought you... I had a momentary...
Where you thought I was going to say no, Murphy?
No. I don't know why, but when I first read this, I was like...
That
for some
replacing
reason,
the show?
My heart sank, and I was like, do not tell me this is the end of Fantasmic. And
sure.
They're going to read... Because, I mean, they've been very... I think it was when we were at Disneyana. Kevin was talking about how this show was supposed to, I don't remember if it was 1 or 5 years, it was supposed to be a very short show. So the fact that it's gone on as long as it has was not the original plan, the original intent. So part of me thought that. I do not think that's it, though. I think this is far too beloved of a show and too much of a staple.
If people freaked out about Abraham Lincoln and the Tiki Room, they would like riot for this one.
Oh, this, I mean, there were shockwaves sent through the Disneyland community with the accident with Murphy.
Oh,
like
yeah.
that was just, again, looking at the show as a whole, Murphy was just a part of that show.
Yep.
I'm hoping that there's a little bit of plussing of the show, what that looks like. I mean, I'm like you, if I were to do it, this is what I would do. But I could see cool things like, what if they did something like this? It's kind of what they did with Murphy. We had Murphy 1.0, well, the Dragon 1.0, and then we had Murphy, which was 2.0 of the Dragon. Bucky was the first dragon. That was the nickname.
Okay.
So we had when Fantasmic first came out, right? Budgets. We always had budgets. So Ursula was this big inflatable thing. Budgets, right? You couldn't build a huge, big thing that would be Ursula. However, our rivers are different now. We've got the area tucked back kind of by Galaxy's Edge where the barges and stuff, they store stuff. Could we get something? Like, could Ursula come back but like be better? So kind of like how Murphy, the first version was Bucky. It was this kind of just like a dragon head on a crane lift with fabric draped around it.
Right.
Could we and then we have like the amazingness that was Murphy, this 45-foot tall animatronic that breathed fire. So could we have something like that with Ursula? I'm just going to throw it out there.
Sure.
Why not?
Doesn't hurt
anything.
Reach
for the stars.
Doesn't hurt anything. I don't know. We'll have to see. But we're going to be on this article, this thing forever if we don't move on to the second part of it, which is
that's also
going
to be
alternative entertainment options.
Forever. What do you think this means? I have my theories.
Okay, so here's what I would hope. This is also not going to happen, just to be clear. What I think they should do is You will love probably both of these things that I'm thinking. They
I think
should
we're
bring
thinking the same thing.
Electrical Parade back.
That's easy.
At DCA.
Oh.
Bring Paint the Night back to Disneyland. Because one of the things we've talked about for a while.
I would have gone the opposite way. I would have Electrical Parade at Disneyland.
The thing is, I was reading some comments online, and a lot of people feel that nowadays, for whatever reason, they think Paint the Night is more magical in Disneyland. It didn't feel as magical in DCA. And the Electrical Parade just feels magical wherever you put it. So if you want to go by that. Now, in reality, if Disney does both of these things, which, mind you, we have not heard a whiff that any of this is happening. This is just our wish casting, if you will, is my guess would be that Electrical Parade would come back to Disneyland because they just renovated it. I have imagined that it's still sitting somewhere in a parade warehouse.
Right.
It'd be really easy.
We've got that new float.
Yep. And then maybe try to get Paint the Night renovated or something. But I don't think they have enough time to do that for the summer.
I don't think so either. I think Paint the Night has got a lot more TLC that needs to happen before it's show ready. However, we don't know. Maybe they've already been working on
this.
Do
you want another one that I saw that somebody suggested that I thought would be a really cool addition?
I think an easy thing. Okay. Before we get off parades, I think a really easy thing that they could do is they could turn Magic Happens into a nighttime parade because you already have the cast is trained. The performers know their routines, all that good stuff. You already have it running, but just shift your parade time. So just have a later afternoon parade and then like an evening nighttime parade. It wouldn't be nighttime. The parade would happen, of course, before the fireworks.
Yeah.
But I think that would be.
And it would have to happen enough before the fireworks because of how many people fill up the area.
But I think that would be a really easy fix for the short term.
Now, somebody floated this idea, and I thought you particularly would like it. So when we went to Disney World, I don't think we saw this. I don't think it was running. But the electrical water pageant.
Oh, sure.
So we didn't ever see the electrical water pageant in Disney World, did we? Because I think it wasn't running when we were there.
No, it wasn't.
So they were saying, why doesn't Disney throw together basically like an Electrical Parade light version that they would put on the Rivers of America to run a couple times a night, go around the water, have some cute music. It would be very Electrical Parade like, but not be the Electrical Parade. And it would happen where Fantasmic would normally happen.
I think I understand the idea.
Yeah.
I don't think it could come together as fast as it would need to.
Sure.
Because it's Disney. They're not just going to slap some Christmas lights on something and say, good enough.
Back in 71, when they did it for Disney World, it was a very last minute thing because they wanted some type of nighttime entertainment in the lagoon. So they did throw it together. But that's not the Disney of today. Mm-mm. Like, we're not going to get another It's a Small World in 8 months or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So do you have any other ideas for?
No, I think we could go on this ramble for a while. But my gut is the Electrical Parade will come back because that is the freshest nighttime entertainment offering.
And they just had people. They could probably rehire or reshuffle.
Yeah, I mean, it
around.
Will take time because, you have to get everyone needs to learn the choreography and all that fun stuff. Hopefully, I don't know. I still keep thinking about all those poor Fantasmic cast members. I really do. My heart goes out to them. But hopefully, this will all get sorted soon. Well, five of the children who were in the Halle Bailey aerial video reveal were surprised at Disneyland last week. To just remind everyone what the video is that we're referring, when the first, I want to say it was the first trailer released for the upcoming live action Little Mermaid, there was the most adorable video. I'm getting chills just thinking of it now. It was all of these little kids watching, it was the little kids' reaction to the trailer and to the reveal of what our new Little Mermaid was going to look like. And it was just so touching and so heartwarming.
She looks like us.
Oh, it was so, it just, like I said, it just warmed my heart. But so if that wasn't magical enough, five of these children who were in that video compilation of the reveal were surprised at Disneyland last week. Mackenzie, Madison, and Carter Manier, along with Mackenzie and Riley Fleming, were enjoying the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique when none other than Halle Bailey herself showed up. She then invited the group to the premiere of The Little Mermaid. In addition to the surprise, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique has new Little Mermaid costumes for both princesses and princess.
So I watched this because I love these like short little videos. And what was really kind of magical was they played a video of Halle Bailey like thanking them for being like for you know these videos and stuff, and then she goes, but I think I can create some more magic, and she comes out of the back, and you could tell that all of them were like, what just happened, because they were getting their Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique makeover, and yeah, so they and then they went to the blue carpet premiere of Little Mermaid at the, I think it was it the El Capitan?
I'm not sure where it was.
It was somewhere in Hollywood, and they went and enjoyed it, and they took a lot of pictures with the posters and stuff these kids did. So what a great experience for them.
So again, like not like the video that they put together of Halle's reveal as her being our new Little Mermaid was, this was so sweet. I mean, the fact that she did a video addressing those kids and thanking them to then be like, boom, here I am. Like, surprise on top of surprise on top of surprise. Just, I mean, come on. Magic. That's pure magic.
Those kids, like, it's all downhill from there, kids.
Shout out. Shout out to the team. Shout out to Halle. Because, I mean, without her, like, without her wanting to do this, this wouldn't have happened. So, I just think this is all really incredible. And just very, very kind and very generous.
Also very excited that these things are happening at Disneyland and not at Disney World, where it always happens.
It's cool that it was happened at Disneyland, too.
Well, the new Disney Vacation Club Tower at the Disneyland Hotel has an official name. So before, they were the villas or whatever. It's just kind of the generic idea. But the tower itself has a name. So joining the Fantasy, Frontier, and Adventure Towers will be the Discovery Tower. Perfect. In addition, Disney showed off concept art showing the new splash pad area next to the new pool, which is themed to Steamboat Willie.
It's so fun. The concept art, of course, we're going to have links in the show notes for you to see this too. The concept art that I saw that Disney Parks posted on their Instagram was like interactive concept art. So you could watch it and you could see all the different water features that were going to be happening on the splash pad. But the other super cool thing is this area is going to kind of transform and come alive at night. So Steamboat Willie, as we all know, is in black and white. So is this splash pad until the sun sets and the stars come out. And then there's going to be all these different colors and fun stuff happening in that area as well. I just think it's very, very cool. Very fun.
So the animated thing that they showed, was that, did that show it transforming into nighttime? I guess I didn't watch enough of it. It's cute though, because it's got water coming out. It's got steam puffing out the top. Yeah. And
it's so fun.
Yeah. So this pool, I think, is going to look really cool. Do we remember, is this pool going to be limited just to the DVC guests?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, still pretty cool. What do you think about the name? I know you stayed in the Frontier Tower.
I think this was very, like, simple, but very perfect. What else would you have named? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it just goes along with the other tower names flawlessly. I think they did a really nice job.
Yeah, me too.
Well, June is Black Music Month, with Downtown Disney set to celebrate all month long. During June, the Downtown Disney Live Stage will have different genres of music, including jazz fusion, mid-century jazz, and Caribbean. There are currently 17 musical groups lined up to perform. The Hollywood Backlot Stage in Disney California Adventure will also feature performances from Midnight Hour, Finesse, and the Rhythm and Blues Brothers. How fun!
There's a lot of entertainment. I mean, we talked about when everything closed for the pandemic, that one of the things when it reopened that was missing was entertainment. Mm-hmm. And June, there's going to be lots of entertainment. That's for sure. So I like the fact that they have 17 different groups lined up for Downtown Disney. So you don't even need a park ticket if you want to come down and enjoy that. And then if you do have a park ticket and you're in DCA, there's some other performances going on there. So that's awesome. I like that they bring in new entertainment and different people from different backgrounds that have different musical styles. Because, you know, I think we've seen throughout the years that as they vary different musical styles, there's different groups of people who get to enjoy music that they enjoy. And it's not just the same, you know, if we go really vanilla, it's not just the same Disney music all the time.
Right.
But it's also, in this case, it's, you know, jazz music and Caribbean music. We've had Latino music before. Like, it's just nice to have the variety and all the different things.
Acapella.
Happening. Yes.
Different styles, too. It's just so fun.
Carolers around Christmas
carolers,
time.
Scarolers even. I just think it's so fun. Like, if I lived in the area, if I live closer, I would be hanging out there all the time to enjoy this, especially because, like you mentioned, this is in downtown Disney. So it costs parking is all it costs. You don't have to have an expensive ticket to get into the park. It's not behind a paywall like some of the other special entertainment offerings are. So I think this is so fun. I would take full advantage of this.
You just made me think about living down there and how I could go sit in downtown Disney and write the script each week.
We could record from downtown Disney.
I mean, that's true.
We could, well, let's face it, we've got keys, so we could be recording from the parks.
That's true.
Most weeks too, if we lived there. Oh, if only. Teleporter. We got to get that teleporter
working. I'm
telling
you. Well, we know it isn't Disneyland specific, but we had to mention the closing of the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser out in Florida. The Galactic Star Cruiser was a two-night experience that immersed guests into the world of Star Wars in a cruise-like atmosphere. The experience was criticized for being too expensive and not broadly appealing. Some of the interactive elements that were originally planned for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge were taken and implemented in this experience instead. Hopefully, this means some of the interactive characters, droids, and other experiences might come to the park in the future.
That's if we're going to look at something positive that's coming out of the unfortunate news that the Galactic Star Cruiser is having its final voyage later this week. I think
this year
is what Tag just mentioned there. I'm hoping that some of the elements that made the Star Cruiser experience so cool. So right, you had the like very in themed, very unique foods. You had the plant, like the galactic specific, I don't even know what you want to call it. You had performers like Gaia that was kind of, you know, like a superstar in that universe, and all, and just the bits of storyline. So if anything, I hope that the takeaway from Disney doing this, and I'm going to sidebar real quick, I'm really proud of Disney for doing this, because this was a risk. This is a pretty big risk to put this on.
100% agree.
Huge risk. So I'm very proud and very happy that they did this. I'm very sad also that it didn't, you know, meet whatever expectation levels they needed it to meet for it to continue. And I wish there could have been something for them to figure out how to continue to, you know, some sort of adjustments, modifications, whatever you want to call it. That could be its own separate thing to make this continue. But I do hope that, like you said, some of this knowledge and tech and stuff that they gained from taking this risk does make it its way back into Galaxy's Edge. Just simple things like how they had this immersive, you were immersed in the storyline for 2 days. Can we see some, maybe not that specific storyline, of course, but can we take some of what we learned and how guests reacted to that and bring that into the parks? Can Gaia have her own dinner theater show in the parks? Can the super cool retractable saber that Rey had somehow make its way? I was joking with Tag before this. I said, look at the Mandalorian. What does he do? Really? What does he do? He walks around with Grogu, who is the most adorable little thing. Like, just adorable. He just, all he does, he moseys. He's not doing anything big and fancy. He's just hanging out. And people love it. People flock to him. In fact, that's how we found him when we were in Galaxy's Edge. Suddenly, there was a mass happening, and I just said, we need to go over there. I think the Mandalorian's out.
This is after a couple times of us specifically trying to find him.
Waiting and failing. But I was joking. I said, you could have Rey just sitting somewhere, turning that lightsaber on and off, and people would love it because it's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, so cool. I mean, maybe they wouldn't be that. Maybe it wouldn't be the Mandalorian and Grogu crowd levels, but still, it's super, super cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that something that, obviously, Oga's Cantina is very popular.
Yeah.
I think if they were to expand and do some type of restaurant show, I think it shows that people pay a lot of money and wait a long time for Blue Bayou and Carthay Circle and all of these other, you know, Lamplight Lounge. If you had an experience with it, they could I mean, again, we're trying to entice Disney. So they could make so much money and they could turn over so many guests in that.
We've also saw two cool, or we've also taken two cool things from the Star Cruiser and incorporated in the parks. If you did a Gaia style, a Gaia performing dinner show type, dinner theater show type thing. Not only do you have Gaia, who is a super cool character that was part of the Galactic Star Cruiser's
very talented
story, very talented, but you could also take some of those really crazy food items, those really unique
and drinks,
food and drink items that were served on the Star Cruiser, like to the point of, I remember watching videos, I want to say it was Ordinary Adventures video of them on the Star Cruiser and like kind of looking at things, reading what the description was, but also looking at it and not quite like, you still didn't quite feel like you knew what it was you were eating. Like they were so immersed in it because that food was so well themed. So yeah. I think that'd be super, super cool.
I think so too. I think they should use that opportunity to have an experience like that. Mm-hmm. So again, this is another one of those topics I think you and I could talk about a long time. So let's move on.
Well, there are some big changes at the Walt Disney Company. The planned move of Imagineering to a new Lake Nona campus in Florida has been officially canceled. There are a number of possibilities for why this move was canceled, with Disney stating, quote, given the considerable changes that have occurred since the announcement of this project, including new leadership and changing business conditions, we have decided not to move forward with the construction of the campus, end quote.
So there's a bunch of rumors, of course, of course, no, we can't ignore the fact that there's a lawsuit going on with the Florida governor, and we're not going to get into that on the podcast because that's just, that has nothing to do with Disneyland,
that's
really.
That's its own can of worms.
That's a whole other thing, but that's going on. Of course, they've lost a bunch of longtime Imagineers and people who didn't want to move to Florida, that they wanted to stay in California. Exactly what they said, new leadership, you know, mm-hmm. Bob Iger has come back and they've changed some things. Well, so there's just a lot going on.
I'm trying to remember when this project was first announced. Because did the park, was it before the park shut down or was it after the park shut down?
July of 2021.
Okay.
They announced it.
Okay. So my personal opinion, I don't know if we'll ever get the full story, but my personal opinion is what the catalyst was for this, and then everything else just wasn't working in Disney's favor for this move to happen, for this to make sense. Started with cast member pushback, Imagineer pushback. We unfortunately lost a ton of talent when this was announced because it was kind of sort of a, if you would like to continue working here, then you will need to pack up and move across country to Florida. And I mean, that's a big ask. That's a really big ask for people. So a lot of people had to make the really tough decision and, you know, have the conversations with their families and whatnot, and had to make the decision to take a step away and take a step back from their careers at Disney and pursue other things so that they didn't have to have this move. You did have, I want to say it was about 200 Imagineers that have already moved mm-hmm. and relocated, that now I feel like my heart goes out to those people too, because depending on how long they've been there, you know, they could be settled into their new lives, not wanting to move all the way back to California, because it's bad enough to move cross country right. once, doing it again.
Probably bought a house and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And side note, Disney has said that they will be figuring things out with those people that did move for this project on a case by case basis. So it's not like Disney's saying, sorry, you know, but so they are going to work with those individuals too. So I think the biggest thing was the pushback from the teams. Is what the biggest thing was. And like I said, then everything else was also not falling into place. Yeah. So it was like they were trying to shove this square peg in a round hole, and
there was too many straws on the camel's back, yes. and it finally broke.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah. I do think that this is a win for Disneyland and for California, though, to keep Imagineering with its roots.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that there's all the history of Imagineering mm-hmm. and the fact that it was going to kind of uproot and move out of those spaces. I don't know. It
when this was first announced, I was really sad about yeah. this. I was really sad because, like you said, there's like a lot of history, roots, all that sort of things. Plus just the fact that us being Disneyland nerds, knowing that Imagineering is just down the road from the park that we love so much, was super cool. And same thing with the studios being just down the road. Right. Like, it's just super cool. Very unique.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. with stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All weekly tiers, boy!
Welcome to Trivia Land. How are we feeling tonight? Do you think you got some great answers in your heads? You ready for some good stuff?
We're hoping that the fresh air, since we are recording outside, will help clear our minds.
Maybe a little birdie will give us the right answer.
And guide us to the correct answers, yes.
All right. Well,
we'll be like a Disney princess talking
even
to
if
the
we
animals.
Fail, at least we're outside enjoying the nice
yes.
weather.
Okay. Well, this afternoon I was taking a little trip down memory lane and going through photos in my phone from our recent trip to the parks.
And here it comes.
And as I was going through the photos and looking at things, I thought, oh, I bet that would be an interesting question. So I came up with five for you. Well, four regulars and a bonus. So let's see how you do.
We're in trouble.
I remember him taking lots of photos in the Mickey and Minnie Runaway Railway queue. So,
like I said,
there's a
trouble.
Ton of details in that queue as well.
Well, let's see. Question number one. As of our most recent trip to Disneyland, what is the stated population on the train station sign?
Huge. Lots and lots of zeros.
Oh.
I think it's something like... I have 33 stuck in my head. I have no idea why.
I think it's 1-5, but I have no idea how many zeros. I don't want to
15?
Like 15 million? That's not enough.
Or 150? It's not how many visitors. It's the population of Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, but that usually goes by visitors, doesn't
Dang,
it?
Dang, now you're making me think. For some reason, 33 was sticking in my head, but now that you said 1-5.
Don't let me... You always do very well, so don't let me dissuade you. It's when you second guess yourself is the problem.
I'm going to say 155.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, what are we going to go?
Million?
Million. I think I'm going to go million. 155
million. 550
million. 550.
All right, 155 million and 550 million. Final answers?
Yes.
Final.
All right.
Probably incorrect answers, but still.
We gave it a good try.
Okay.
There's lots of zeros. I do remember that.
There are lots of zeros.
Your second question. At the Toontown Post Office, whose P.O. box is upside down?
Oh, I got this.
P.O. box is upside down. Teresa knows this one. I'm not looking at what you wrote either. I'm trying to think of like who would make sense to be upside down. I don't know. Roger Rabbit.
Goofy.
Of course.
Goofy.
Well, write down Roger Rabbit. I said Roger Rabbit.
All right. So I'm trying to
can we have a bonus of whose mailboxes are there?
Oh, because you remember all of these?
I think I might.
Oh, my goodness.
By all means, if you would like
okay,
to.
Okay, so we've got Mickey.
You're going to get bonus points for this.
Got Mickey. We have Minnie. We have Donald. Goofy. We have Roger Rabbit. But we also have Jessica Rabbit. Jessica, for sure. I'm almost positive on Roger, but I could be wrong.
All right.
I was playing with, like, they all do little sounds. I was playing with them.
Oh,
last
yeah. No,
trip.
I know you were having a lot of fun with it, and I did not. So,
your third regular round question. In Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad queue, there's a condiment stand where you can see many choices, including ketchup, catsup, your cheese, nacho cheese, yes. Barbecue sauce, mayonnaise, slashed out secret sauce, relish, extra hot sauce, and what very not traditional, I'm not even sure it's actually a sauce.
I remember there was, maybe it's the hot sauce, there was one where it dripped and it actually like burned the counter.
Oh.
Maybe there's like an inferno.
Like a cheese sauce or something, wasn't it? I mean, I should have paid more attention is what I'm learning.
I don't know. The only thing that's sticking out to me is like an inferno sauce, but I don't know if that was maybe just the hot sauce that I'm getting confused.
I don't know. You said inferno. I feel like that's close. I'll say inferno.
I could just be making this up totally.
Maybe.
All right. So you both say an inferno sauce. Final answers.
It's our best guess, yes.
All right. And your fourth and final regular round question. What is the slogan of the Shawarma Palace?
Oh no. It's something about like we're heroes. It's something about it being a favorite place of the Avengers, but I can't remember what exactly it is. Like something about heroes.
It's got to be like most things where it's like a play on words or some clever thing.
The world's mightiest something. I don't know. It's some sort of something like it's a play on it being like where the heroes like to eat. Dang. I bet you there's a ton of weekly tiers that are like shouting at their radios right now because we are totally failing on this. And I like,
I stumped. I'm not doing very well this one.
Sometimes his face gives us tells if I was looking.
I will like
unless
to say,
maybe New York's Finest is the slogan and I've gotten it confused.
I don't know.
We're going to go with New York's Finest because I don't know.
I'm just laughing because I.
New York's Tastiest.
Oh, New York's Tastiest.
Do you have a hint?
Oh, boy. He's like, you're right. It is a play on it being something hero related.
I mean, that is a hint.
You know, that's. You're not going to get it anyway. So let's just move on.
Let's move on.
Moving on.
And your bonus question
that we really need.
Where can you find buttons embedded in the tile work of a restaurant entrance?
We Carthay know Circle. This. Carthay Circle.
See, Vern was like, I know that they are going to need this.
Which, that was really fun because we did that and like spotted them. You and I had spotted them earlier.
Well, we had spotted one.
Yeah, we had spotted one. But
our
there's
tour guide said that there was multiples,
and she confirmed with the Carthay Circle staff, and they like kind of helped. They didn't point them out, but they like gave us the general area. So there's a ton of them, though. There's way more than I thought.
Did we share the story on the podcast? Or are we allowed to share the story? I think we're allowed to share the story.
The supposed, the
cast member told us the story, okay. So
yeah,
I don't know why
the buttons are there.
But should we tell that story when we come back with the answers?
Sure. In case we're absolutely wrong, because you never know.
Very true. So, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home?
Must do better than us.
Stick around until after the discussion.
I'm going to kick myself when we get the shawarma one.
And we're all going to find out together.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are going to talk about our visit that we did on this last trip to Knott's Berry Farm, because we had gone to Knott's Berry Farm once during the Touch of Disney / Boysenberry Festival thing when no attractions were running. So we wanted to go to Knott's Berry Farm. So let's start talking about that experience.
So Knott's is, how do I want to say this? I think if you're local from California, Knott's is, you know, a place that you visited frequently. To us, it was like, it was so, okay, I haven't had this experience in a while where I was, didn't know anything really about what I was getting into. So like before we got on attractions there, I really didn't know what exactly, like all I could do was assume from what I could see. Have I seen videos of this stuff? Yes. But watching videos and experiencing things, totally different thing. And some places at Knott's, actually, you can't even have your cameras or phones or whatever videoing equipment out. They don't want you taking videos of stuff. Some of the roller coasters are so extreme and intense. They don't want you to have that stuff out because it'll be gone. So yeah. So it was a really unique experience in my mind, just because of how new everything was. We've been to Disneyland so many times now. We've been very fortunate to go to Disneyland so many times. And I feel like while Walt Disney World, we haven't gone to as often. I mean, I want to say I've probably been there myself 3 or 4 times in my life. And, you know, it's still like it's new. It's not Disneyland, but it's still very familiar feeling. So, but this was just a completely different feeling. So I thought it was really fun and really unique just in the fact that it was like undiscovered territory, a new frontier, if you may.
I used to go. My family had gone to Knott's Berry Farm a couple times when I was a kid, because we would always go from Northern California. We'd travel down, and on our Disney trips, Disneyland would be like the main attraction, but we would do side trips to other things because we were down there. So we would sometimes go to Universal, we would sometimes go to Knott's Berry Farm, we would sometimes go down to San Diego and go to the zoo. So there's been a lot of like things, nothing as consistent as Disneyland. And honestly, I couldn't remember much of Knott's Berry Farm since the last time I was there. And I did remember us being there for the Boysenberry Festival that none of the attractions were running. So I do remember kind of walking around. But even that was different now because there was a whole section that is now under construction that we didn't go through because it's being kind of reimagined.
Yeah.
And so, and not being there when any of the attractions are running, there's definitely a different atmosphere because they're screaming and like there's people, you know. Now, for those of you who have never been to Knott's Berry Farm, I just want to kind of paint a picture here. So if you have tiers of amusement enterprises, if you will, you've got things like Disneyland and Universal, who I would say is like the top tier, right? Like that's going to give you that experience, that really highly themed, cast members are really into it, like experience. A couple notches down, I'd say something like Knott's Berry Farm. There's still some theming. There's a lot of great cast members that are working and performers and stuff that are really mm-hmm. great. And then, you know, another couple of notches below that or a few notches below that are your typical like Six Flags Great America, sure. Six Flags Valley Fair, Cedar Point, all of those things. So Knott's Berry Farm for me is definitely a higher tier than your average yeah. roller coaster park.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot more theming. So when we first got there, first of all, it was really nice. We got dropped off basically right in front of the front gates.
Yeah.
Because we took an Uber, which was
crazy.
Great.
The drop-off and pickup zone for the rideshare services, like Tag said, it was the front gate. So steps. You were steps away from...
Not like Disneyland where you get dropped off on Harbor and still have to walk
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, so you're steps away from where you needed to be. The other really interesting thing is some of the things that Knott's Berry Farm is so well known for are outside of the gate. So we actually began our experience at Knott's at a little establishment just outside the front gates.
Oh, man. So we've heard things about this chicken restaurant. And so we went in and we ordered the chicken dinner.
It's the Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant.
Okay. What was the dinner that we ordered? Was it just the Mrs. Knott's chicken dinner? I think it was
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, you and I ordered from the dinner entree menu, Mrs. Knott's famous fried chicken.
Now,
dubbed the traditional favorite, served with mashed potatoes and Knott's country gravy.
Now, that is kind of a misnomer, just so you're aware, if you do go and order this, not only do you get a lot of chicken and a lot of mashed potatoes and gravy, you also get biscuits, you get a side. We got like the corn, or I got a side of corn. Ooh. It comes with a salad and a soup.
Mm-hmm.
This and a dessert, like a slice
and
of pie at the end.
A slice of pie.
So
this
you get a lot.
Dinner was not messing around.
No. And we got this for lunch before we went into the park.
Thankfully, it was kind of like a midway between lunch and dinner kind of a time. So we had a light breakfast in preparation for the Knott's chicken dinner because we had heard it was famous. So so we were kind of trying to prepare our stomachs and make sure that we had plenty of room.
Overall,
this.
What did you think?
My biggest takeaway was how overwhelmed I was at the how much food it was. I was not prepared for how much food it was. Because when either. I was reading the menu, I thought it was chicken and potato, of course. You get to choose a side and then soup or salad, not both, but it was both. And I somehow skipped over the pie was included with it as well. So I was just like beside myself. And it was three pieces?
Three pieces of chicken? Yeah.
No. It was four pieces of chicken. I'm looking at the thing on my, it was a half a chicken.
Yeah.
It was a breast, a thigh, a leg, and
something else.
Oh, and like a wing.
Yeah. So quickly, because I don't want to spend our entire discussion topic talking just about the chicken dinner. I thought the mashed potatoes and gravy, I thought the gravy was the highlight there, but the mashed potatoes and gravy are good. I still think for me, Plaza Inn chicken is the best fried chicken.
Yep. I think I enjoyed Plaza Inn more than I liked this. But I will say I did get I think it was the chicken noodle, creamy chicken noodle soup.
That surprised me.
That was
that
really,
was really good.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. Their biscuits and jam were very
now,
nice.
Now, coming from the Midwest, I thought their corn was just okay because it wasn't like sweet corn, which we get here in the Midwest. But also, I was really surprised with the biscuits because they came with a boysenberry jam and I was all about it. Now, Teresa liked them, but wasn't as over, like I could not stop talking about these biscuits. Yeah. I also got the boysenberry drink, which I also thought was very good. James, I think, generally liked everything.
He got chicken tenders.
Yeah, he got chicken tenders. He wasn't as big of a fan of the corn. I think he liked the soup as well because it was creamy. It was kind of one of the things James has problems with the soups is he doesn't know what to do with it because he's like, do you chew it? Do you swallow it? Like, I just don't know what to do with soup. That's just kind of his thing. And because it was creamy and kind of chunkier, he kind of knew what to do with it. There was more to it, I guess.
He got a different soup, though.
Just so you're aware, if you go and buy this, I think it was like $27 or $28, something like that. Mm-hmm. It may seem expensive for a chicken dinner, but it comes with all of the things we just talked about.
This would be my recommendation. Share it.
Yes.
Order one of these chicken dinners to split with someone because there was... I felt very bad with how much, like... We were unprepared. We just could not eat it all. Because like I said, it was a half a chicken on our fry. I mean, it was very, very generous portion. So either what we should have done is we should have shared. We should have split meals. Or if you're local, this would be great for leftovers. You'd have tons of leftovers. So
it's all stuff overall, that would reheat well.
Yeah. Overall, I was really pleased with the experience. And for the price, the quality of the food, the quantity of food, the overall atmosphere, this was a really great experience. I'm glad we did it.
So we went into the park. One thing I do want to mention.
We shuffled our way slowly because our bellies were very full.
They have what I wish Disneyland would have, which is you didn't have to take anything out or unzip your bag or anything. You could just walk through the scanner. And only if something weird came up did you have to get secondarily scanned. Now, I think Teresa and I both ended up getting secondarily scanned because I had, I think, the battery charger in my backpack.
Yep, I had a battery charger,
and you did too. But the general guest, I don't know. I wish Disneyland would bring this type of technology.
The one thing I thought was interesting was the security people that went through your bag. Did you notice what their instrument, no pun intended, of choice was to kind of poke through your bag? Drumsticks. They were drumsticks that were painted purple. So like, you know, ba-dum-psh kind of drumsticks, not chicken drumsticks.
I mean, we did just talk about chicken.
Yeah. I thought that was fun. So first up, we went right as you enter the gates, go left. Hey, we went left. Look at that.
It's a thing.
Old habits die hard. We went left into Ghost Town. Ghost Town, I'm just going to say it. That was my favorite. That's my favorite area.
It is the most highly themed area.
There's all sorts of fun shops. It's also kind of where like the history of this park resides. It was super fun. And all of the attractions that I was looking forward to the most also all reside in Ghost Town. Now, James talked us into going on the Ghost Rider roller coaster, which we should also preface. In the morning, James was at Knott's Berry Farm on his own, riding all the rides, doing all the fun stuff. Tag and I were over at the Disneyana Sail and Show and having all of the Disney fun over there. He needed a break from Disney, and James is a huge roller coaster nut.
Yeah.
And he was excited about roller coasters that both Tag, for sure me, looked at on like line and we're like, was the one that we're like,
he had a great morning.
He did. He was having a blast. So he had already ridden Ghost Rider and he's like, you guys will be fine on this one. You'll be fine.
It's the smoothest wooden roller coaster I've ever ridden. There's not a lot of drops. It's wonderful. And so my experience on this was funny. So first of all, one thing that I'm just going to get out of the way now, and we don't have to repeat it for the rest of the show. The efficiency at which Knott's loads their attractions is not the efficiency.
And just their attraction people, like they just don't have as many cars and such.
So unlike Disneyland, where as soon as they can get people butts in seats and send, there's like another car there to load more people, that is not Knott's. So the lines move a little slower. The cast members move a little slower. It's just the pace of Knott's.
Well, and the interesting thing too. So with Ghost Rider, you actually were not, if you had bags and stuff with you, you were not allowed to have those in the car
along for the ride.
So what you actually had to do, this kind of freaked me out. You had to walk across the attraction vehicle to then put your personal belongings in a cubby to then walk back to the attraction vehicle to take your seat. Me, and again, this was our first ride at Knott's, I'm thinking, it's going to take off without us. Like, we don't possibly have enough time to do this. No, there was plenty of time to do that. So don't think like I was thinking. I thought we were going to like either miss the car, get in trouble, the worst.
This was normal.
I thought the worst.
Now, the other thing too is just to kind of put this in perspective, if our description doesn't sound great. So if you've ever been on the Incredicoaster, imagine the gate opens to get on the Incredicoaster. You have to walk across the attraction vehicle to the exit side. Mm-hmm. And that's where you put your bag and then you come back to the car. So just in case you don't, our description, if you've ever ridden the Incredicoaster, that's kind of a description of what it would be like. So we got on this and we started going up the lift hill. And I don't know what's wrong with me lately.
And we had seat belts this funny little like lap thing that clicked on. And both Tag are like, what? A seatbelt and the we'll go with it. We don't know why we're belted in twice, but okay.
We're going up this lift hill.
If this is the smoothest wooden roller coaster ever,
we're going up this lift hill, and I had not thought about it. I don't know why. I just wasn't paying attention, I guess. And so we're going up this lift hill and I'm like, oh, we're going to get a really great view of the area. That's going to be wonderful. So we're going up and I'm like, oh, this is a really nice view. And I look up and I see there's still a lot of track left to go. And towards the last quarter of this lift, my brain realized that, oh, when you go up this high, you also go down. And my brain was like, uh-oh. And we get to the top and we're trying to find Disneyland and we didn't have time
to think about it.
And down we go. And what was funny was it was not the smooth ride that James had claimed. It was a lot of vibration jostling.
We quickly learned why there were two lap restraints, not just one. I thought for sure with how much we were in the middle of the mine car thing too. So, right, shouldn't have been the most like crazy. It's not like sitting in the back where it's right. You know, whipping around more. Every single time we went over those hills, my butt was off the seat. Oh, yeah. And I thought I was gonna fly out. Like, it was,
there was,
but
a lot
it
of
was
air
so
time.
Much fun.
It was
so much
what
fun.
Was so funny was we were screaming and then laughing, because I guess at some point you just start laughing. We arrived at the station, and Teresa's not a big roller coaster person. And I thought, oh God, we've scarred her for life. And I look over, and because it was going so fast, there is a vertical stream of tears going from her eyes to her ears of her laughing so hard that she was crying. And we got off and we were just so discombobulated having to get our stuff.
Really, what just happened?
And I'm yelling at James, telling him that he lied to us, and he was so entertained that he's like, oh, I knew it was like that, but I wanted to get you on it and I didn't think you would go on it. So
we're
anyway.
Looking in line, there's these smaller children that are going on, they're all excited.
Spoiler
there's
alert,
you know,
little
oh,
kids love
goodness.
Stuff like this, Teresa.
I know, but oh man, it was a ton of fun.
It was.
Would I do it again? Yes. To yes. me, for me, roller coasters, like that's probably the top that I'll do. I like the Incredicoaster, I'm good with, and this sure. one I was good with. Much more extreme than those. Nah, don't sign me up. I yeah. will happily wait for you on the ground.
We recommend Ghost Rider though.
But yeah, highly recommend Ghost Rider. It was tons and tons of fun.
So we walked around a little bit more. Teresa was unjostling herself. And so James and I went on the Pony Express.
That one actually looked really fun.
Which was a short coaster. The line, it said it was like a half an hour wait, but it ended up only being like a 10-minute wait. So again, just like at Disney, sometimes the wait times don't exactly equate. They do have an app, by the way, that has wait times and stuff like that in it. They do also sell a front of the line pass, but it's like, it's in the hundreds of dollars or over $100. So like Teresa keeps saying that Disney should do, Knott's is already on it. Mm-hmm. And so we went on that, and that was a great attraction. We went over and we ended up going to like one of their dark rides.
Yeah. So the next thing that we came upon was Knott's Berry Tales, which this was one of the few attractions, because there's a lot of very extreme roller coasters at Knott's. This was one of the ones that I was really looking forward to. So Knott's Berry Tales is kind of their version in a way of like either think like Web Slingers or Midway Mania. So it's this fun, slow, dark ride, but you're shooting at stuff, you know, so it's kind of an arcade style game. The original attraction was designed by Rolly Crump. It has been the original attraction closed. This is kind of the revival of, and perhaps I got the name wrong. Maybe it's like not the Berry Tales Adventure Continues or something like that. But it was really fun. I will say, very difficult, because you have, so think of the pull string style that you have in
Midway Mania.
So you've got a thing with a pull string that
doesn't
allows you
far.
To shoot, and it's detachable like the guns at Buzz Lightyear. It was, to me, having a detachable gun with the pull string was quite, like, it took a little getting used to, because I'd be pulling too hard, which then my gun would point, like, then the berry blaster thing would
point
up too high.
It was hard to determine what your gun was supposed to be shooting.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of weirdness.
It took a little bit for me to realize, like, oh, I'm sitting in the orange seat, so I'm shooting orange berries. Tag sitting in the blue seat, so he's, like, that. So it took a little bit. There wasn't a long enough introductory thing for us to really get our bearings, but it was really fun. The thing that I really liked is it felt, the queue itself was immersive. Yes. It this is going to sound bad, but it felt to me like people that had worked on Disney attractions, that we had Imagineers that helped with this one, because it was just a different level than the other things that we had experienced. And even the attraction itself, they had smells pumping in into the queue and in the attraction itself. So it, like, boysenberry smells were pumping in. So it felt a little bit more familiar, I guess, would be a good way of saying it.
So the Berry family, which is Bear-Y.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The Berry family owns the factory that are making these pies. And the storyline is that the crafty coyote is trying to steal the pies. So while you're in queue, you can see the shadow of him moving outside the windows and stuff.
That queue
was
fun.
We also got to meet Boysenberry,
yes,
who met with us. And I had a great interaction. In fact, if you look at the episode graphic for this episode, that is who we were meeting and greeting
with. He's so fun.
I was wearing a Dr. Pepper shirt that day, and he was very excited for my Dr. Pepper shirt. So he's great in my book, because I'm a huge Dr. Pepper fan. So, Boysen, I am there for you. But it was a cute attraction. I think we had a really good time on it. The other thing we did this trip.
Oh, the attraction is Knott's Berry Tales Return to the Fair.
Okay.
That's the continuation.
The other thing that we did was our friends over at Where in the Park, we got a copy of the Where in the Park Knott's Berry Farm, mm-hmm, which we thought was going to be extremely challenging.
We thought it was going to be like impossible because we don't know this park at all.
We did find a couple things.
We did.
Though.
I was really proud of us.
Then it came time to ride the thing that I think all of us were looking forward to the most.
Yes.
Which was the Calico Mine Train.
So the Calico Mine Train has got to be one of the, it's been there forever kind of a ride. It's one of the originals, but it's just that. It's a little mine train ride, and it carries riders with these ore cars on this adventure through this, you know, active mine. Tons of different animatronics, tons of fun things to see. The thing that I thought was cool was the attraction itself really isn't that big, nor is it really that long, but they made a really good use of space, because they have the kind of center of this attraction is this one huge cavernous room that has just tons of different mine workers doing all sorts of different things.
On different levels.
And you actually pass through this room several times, so it doesn't really feel like it's the same room because you pass through it, like Tag said, on those different levels. I mean, if you're really closely paying attention, you can, you figure it out. But it wasn't until like the second or third pass, kind of like the third pass probably, that we're like, oh, that's the same room.
Loved this
attraction.
It
was very cool.
I loved it. I like Big Thunder Mountain, mm-hmm, so I'm going to like this. I like the fact
that
they had
a non-thrilling Big Thunder Mountain.
No,
it was like
little kids could go on this.
It's like dark ride Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, it didn't go very fast. There was a couple places where it was kind of high up. Like there was an area where it came outside and you were kind of high up, which I guess could be, for somebody who doesn't like heights, I guess maybe could be thrilling. But I thought it was really great. There's a part where you stop and like I'm not going to give it away if you haven't been there.
The train
there's a cool
stops.
Effect. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So overall, especially since this attraction, I just looked it up, this attraction opened in November of 1960.
Yeah.
And it's still, I would say it's still a top tier attraction. Like it's good.
I thought it was good. I really, very, very immersive. And again, it wasn't until later when we were walking around the park and we kind of realized, wait a minute, you can walk around the entire show building for this attraction. And it's really, for how big and long this attraction felt, the building didn't make sense. So I thought that was really, really cool. I did find on the Knott's Berry Farm app that the scene, that giant scene that I was talking about, it's a 65 foot deep and 90 foot wide scene.
Oh yeah.
Filled with dozens of animated miners, of course, all trying to strike a rich. But yeah.
I thought it was really great. Now, one thing we did not get to do was what's the log ride?
The Timber Mountain Log Ride.
That was under refurbishment when we were there. That was another high priority for us, but we were not able to
do it. I was joking with James that while he was going on all of the crazy roller coasters, I was just going to spend my time going back to back on the log ride and the mine train. Like that, I would just spend my time over there. It would be totally fine. I'm looking at the photo here. The log flume there is not as big as Disneyland's. It looks like only a max of 4 people can go per log. But
I also heard you don't get that wet on it.
I watched
Ordinary Ventures went, and I don't think he rode it a couple times and didn't get too wet.
Speeds up to 12 feet per second. It's a zipping too. Mm.
So we went on the train. What's the train called?
The Calico Railroad.
Which, man, this thing must eat people because it was a very large train that fit a lot of people. And it made a little loop around that half of the park. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have any stops. It just kind of went around and stopped back where it was. It was a nice relax. It was kind of like the Disneyland Railroad, in which you just kind of like, you don't ride it to really see anything. You just kind of ride it to enjoy the atmosphere of the park. Mm-hmm. So I think we enjoyed that. There's this robber that comes on.
There is.
And
there was a train
through.
Robber that was...
That was entertaining. He was fun with the kids and everything. At this point, we kind of were getting towards the end of our day, and we were trying to make it back that night because we wanted to catch the... Therese and I had reservations for Disneyland, and we wanted to catch the fireworks. So we went on one last attraction. We walked over to the
Sky Cabin.
The Sky Cabin. So talk about the Sky Cabin.
The Sky Cabin was interesting because it looks terrifying. It's one of the things that you can see from very far outside of the park. It's like super, super tall. So every time that I saw it, it looked like a crazy drop ride to me, which nope. That is not my thing. But no, the Sky Cabin's different because actually it's a very slow and gentle ride up. It takes you up all the way to the top. It's got these big viewing. You're seated the whole time. When you get to the top, you can stand up if you choose and kind of look. But it's basically just gives you a really nice aerial view of the park and the surrounding area. So it was not what my expectation was. Now, if you are a thrill person and you like the kind of drop rides, there is one called Supreme Scream. Yes.
Well, there was what was the one that James went on that like stopped you and then let go?
Oh, that was Hang Time.
Yeah. We watched that a bunch of times from the Sky Cabin. There were so many roller coasters
that we were looking at, and I just looked at Tag, and I'm like, my heart is racing just watching these people on these roller coasters.
There was one that wasn't even running, and you were like, no,
yeah,
I would not
go
on that.
I was getting panicky just looking at it, and we didn't even know exactly what it was that it was going to do. But the track just looked insane. I was like, nope.
So the Sky Cabin, just for some numbers, goes up 180 feet in the air, and then it slowly rotates. It gives you a 360-degree panoramic view of Orange County and Los Angeles. So
the one we were looking at that I was getting scared about just looking at was called Accelerator, the ride.
Yeah. So that thing, I think, goes 0 to 82
mile per hour in 2.3 seconds.
Yeah, that wasn't going to be for you for sure.
Nope. You immediately hurtle into a 90-degree straight down... Nope.
So overall, what do we think of Dots?
I enjoyed it. I would like to go back and take some more time to to experience things like the log ride. But we didn't get to do much in way of entertainment. We didn't have any run-ins with like the local mayor or any of the people that live in Ghost Town. Remember when we did the Knott's Berry Boysenberry Festival back in 2021,
there was a lot of all sorts
of character actors and like fun interactions with guests that were happening. We didn't see any of those roaming characters during this Sunday afternoon visit.
I really wanted to go see Sad Eye Joe, but James wasn't that interested.
We did. We walked past Sad Eye Joe. And
we could hear him. He was very sad.
He was very sad. And shout out to Skipper Freddy, because remember Skipper Freddy told us a little bit of magic about how Sad Eye Joe works, and we kept our eyes open and the window was open, the notebook was out. I'm like, oh look, there it is. I didn't quite understand where the window was.
Me either. Yeah.
But as soon as I saw a cracked window, I was like, oh, that's it. So I think that's a very simple effect, but very clever and very, very well done.
Yeah.
So very fun.
I think it was a really clean park. It seemed like there was a lot of good entertainment options. Mm-hmm. There was attractions for all ages. Now, we didn't go. There was a whole couple sections of the park we didn't go to. We didn't go. There's a whole like kids Snoopy, Camp Snoopy mm-hmm. section that were all for kids. We didn't go over there this time.
No. Nope.
That's a really well-themed area when we went there for the mm-hmm. Boysenberry Fest. And then what was the area they were working on is like the
Fiesta Village?
The Fiesta Village they were renovating and mm-hmm. basically reimagining to be, you know, to renovate it. Like, you know, Disney does the same thing.
I will say, I do think we grossly underestimated how much we could accomplish in a certain period of time. I was not thinking Knott's Berry Farm would necessarily be a full day park for us, just because, like I mentioned, they have a lot of extreme what I consider extreme thrill rides and roller coasters, and those just aren't my thing. Teg is a little bit more adventurous than me. James, however, is definitely the most adventurous of the group that was there that day. So he could definitely be there for a full day because there was more rides that appealed to him. I feel like we barely scratched the surface, though. We got a lot done, but I feel like there was still more to do and more to see. So definitely if you're thinking about giving Knott's Berry Farm a try and checking it out yourself, I would be sure to set aside a full day to be able to do all the fun things. Even if you're like Tag and I and you're not going to go on those crazy, crazy roller coasters, I still think you can find a lot of fun and a lot of entertainment if you're there the full
day.
And
it's only like a 10 or 15 minute Uber or Lyft ride if you do rideshare, or if you drive yourself probably too, from Disneyland.
Yep. So we were staying at the Howard Johnson, and I want to say it was like a 7 minute Uber ride. It was a really, really quite quick, 7, maybe 10 minutes tops, depending on traffic, Uber ride. It was not bad at all. Very, very quick ride to and from. And actually, what we did was when we were leaving Knott's Berry Farm for the evening, because like Tag mentioned, we wanted to try and catch the fireworks at Disneyland to end our night. We went from the front gate of Knott's Berry Farm to the ride drop off at the front of the Disneyland Resort entrance. So we went park to park.
So I have my Lyft receipt here, and it was about 12 minutes for our trip there. And then our trip back, which took us to the hotel, was 14 minutes. But yeah, we recommend if you're in the Disney area and you want to try something new and you haven't gone to Knott's. Also, that was another thing, Knott's tickets, not as expensive as Disneyland tickets.
No, it is less expensive if you buy them online ahead of time than if you buy them at the gate, though.
And also, if you're going to go 2 days or more in a year, get the annual pass, because it's only, I think, $100-something. It basically is like, if you're going to go 2 days, you might as well get the pass. They also have food options where food you plans. Can add the food plan to it, where you
drink
can
plans.
Get meals and drinks and stuff. So we saw a lot of people with the drink plan. There was tons of people with the bottles they give you to refill. So I think that's definitely worth it if you're going to be there for the whole day or you're bringing your family, that kind of thing.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out just how well Teresa and Tag did. How do you two think you did tonight?
Not good.
Well, all right.
I'm confident on one.
Should we dive right into it?
Let's dive right in.
Okay. As of our most recent trip to Disneyland, what is the stated population on the train station sign? Teresa said 155 million, and Tag said 550 million. The correct answer that I was looking for was 650 million. Tag being the closest.
You were pretty close.
Yeah, I pulled it up, and spoiler alert, elevation is 138 feet. So
there you go.
That's the other bit of info on there.
They don't change that one.
No, well, you know, everybody keeps saying that California is just going to sink into the ocean, so maybe it would change. Maybe,
I mean, I sometimes wonder if they were to actually recalibrate, has it maybe gone down a foot or two?
Maybe.
I was actually hearing on the news today that New York City, due to the weight of things, or due to the weight of the buildings, is actually sinking.
I saw something about that on YouTube,
So, you never know. Maybe one of these days the elevation sign is going to change.
Maybe.
But
not today. Not yet.
Okay. Your second question. At the Toontown Post Office, whose P.O. box is upside down? Tag said Roger Rabbit. Teresa said Goofy. The correct answer we were looking for was Goofy.
You know what, Tag? I am proud of you for knowing Roger Rabbit has a mailbox there.
I assume since Cartoon Spin is right there that he would have a mailbox.
I still am proud of you for that.
Thank you.
And for her bonus points, Teresa was correct in knowing that Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, Roger Rabbit, and Jessica Rabbit all have P.O. boxes.
I think those were fake bonus points, but thank you.
Yes.
Gotta give you something somewhere, I guess.
I can take all the real and fake points I can get.
Your third regular round question. In Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad Queue, there's a condiment stand where you can see many choices, including ketchup, catsup, your cheese, nacho cheese, BBQ sauce, mayonnaise scratched out secret sauce, relish, extra hot sauce, and what very not traditional, I'm not even sure it's a sauce. Your answers were the Inferno Sauce or the Inferno Sauce, which I take you meant to be the extra hot sauce probably. That I already listed?
Probably.
The correct answer that I was looking for was haggis, the Scottish dish made by filling a sheep's stomach with a whole bunch of other stuff and boiling it until it splits and then eating everything.
You say this now, and I remember us talking about this, but it promptly fell out of my head.
And I was trying to give a hint in the... Not traditional. I'm not even sure it's a sauce.
Yes. We're a little too dense for that one, apparently.
Sorry. And your fourth and final regular round question. What is the slogan of the Shawarma Palace? Both of you coming up stumped on that. What we were looking for was Shawarma flavors for heroes on the go.
For heroes!
Yeah, you had one word out of the whole like six or seven.
No. I'm just saying. Like, yeah. I knew it, but I didn't.
Yeah, you were kind of on the track, but there was no way for me to
hint
you
were in the neighborhood. I was in the correct neighborhood. That's exactly right, Tig. I was in the right neighborhood.
Yeah, you knew that it involved heroes, but there was no way I could hint you towards it. So.
Right. That's okay. Let's see how good we did on bonus quest.
And for bonus points tonight, where can you find buttons embedded in the tile work of a restaurant entrance? Both of you saying that you would find those at Carthay Circle. The correct answer we were looking for was the entrance to Carthay Circle.
Woohoo!
Good job, Teresa.
And Tag.
So would we like to finish telling the story of that?
Yeah, yes. So the cast member, our tour guide, told us that it was that one of the workers who were working on the tile work out there wanted to somehow... mark his name or something like that, somehow sign his work, and they said no, so he took a button and embedded it into the tile work, and actually there's a bunch of buttons embedded in the tile work. So when we had seen this on a previous trip, we thought there was only the one button, so it was nice to see or learn that there was more buttons.
Next trip, we're going to try and count how many buttons there are, if we remember.
Is there somebody who would have the definitive number that we would know that we caught all of them?
Maybe.
Well, at least we got that one, Vern, so...
Yes, you did very well on that one. And listeners, how do you think you did listening at home? Did you know all of the answers? Do you have some great questions that you'd like to send in so that you can hear them live on the air? If you've got that perfect question that you'd like to hear us read, feel free to send that in at trivia@dioweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.